All right. Okay. Well, Lord God, we, Father, we thank you for this time. I pray for insight. I pray for, Lord, I just pray for the leaders here as they're going to need to make some hard decisions and to really think about shifts to make and such, Lord, that you'll give wisdom, that you'll help us to understand how to apply this stuff in our churches. And we pray for your best for us, Lord, for each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so hi, everybody. Now, who was who's joining us for the first? Who was not? Okay, all the Australians, yeah. The party. Okay, so hi, Sarah. Were you on last week with us, or is this your first time joining us? Wait, is this your first time, then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, and I think everybody else was with us except maybe Doug and Mary. Were you guys with us last week, Doug and Mary?
Yes, we were.
Great. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay, so I know there's been a little confusion, which we are trying to alleviate. Let me just cover a couple of things. So I want to make sure that everyone understands the difference. The master classes happen on Wednesday mornings, my morning, from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And that's an ongoing thing. We will probably, in the near future, fold that into the track, but for right now it's a separate thing. You just show up. There's about 40 or 50 people on the call. You can just watch it, and every month there's a new topic. Okay, so that's the master class. That's for pro and max members. Track, now the track is something different. You guys run on the track. The track includes the max membership, so you can do all that, and you get basically everything else as a part of the track, which is includes this separate class, and that we have two classes for the track, and you're welcome to go to either, and we're going to start another one in April, so you're welcome to go to both if you want, or if you miss one you catch the other, because they're right now, the one is this one Wednesday, 4 to 5 my time on Wednesday, and it's tomorrow in Australia. So how is tomorrow, Australia? Is it good? Yeah, I'll love that. And then tomorrow morning from 9 to 10 a.m. is another one of these track classes, and it's in sync, so it's the same material. And Michael is maybe on that one. I don't think he's going to make it today. He's in Brazil, running around doing a bunch of appointments, and he did 4 services last Sunday. And anyway, so those two classes are, is it, after 2 months of the boot camp. Then we will shift to implementation class, which will be ongoing. So the idea is in the boot camp, we cover all the basics and the core teaching and the tools, and then we go into actually applying it over time. Okay, I just want to get that clear. Okay, any questions on that before we go forward? And I like questions, so if you have a question, just unmute yourself and ask. Anybody? Okay. Okay, great. So, we did introductions last week, so maybe just Sarah, why don't you just tell us really quickly, you know, a little bit about yourself and where you are in your church there.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm from Alexandria, Minnesota, and I'm in the church House of Prayer, and we're a little church, but we're kind
mighty.
Of...
You're small but mighty.
Yeah, so we just have a really awesome foundation of mature, spirit-filled people, but it's kind of like bringing us all together now and kind of reestablishing everything. And my pastor is involved in this, but she's been gracious enough to have me co-do this with her so that I'm an extra set of ears, so to speak. And yeah, I'm excited to what's going to happen here. So anyways, and that's...
Now, are you with Lindeen?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I had a long talk with her today. Yes.
She shared with me, and I was very happy with that.
I was challenging her.
Yes. She said she loved every bit of it.
Good. Well, let's just talk about that for a sec. So much of what we're going to be covering is, can be boiled down to a significant paradigm shift of shifting from what we call a pastorally oriented model to an apostolic model. And by that, we mean going from where the pastor and the sense of, oh, I as the church member, I want the pastor to take care of me, or I want the pastor to minister to me personally. And if I'm in the hospital, the, you know, better have the pastor show up to see me. That we're shifting from that model to what we call an apostolic, where the impetus of the pastor is to care and keep. The impetus of the apostolic is to train and send. So pastoring is absolutely critical, but it can't be primary. Otherwise, you'll wind up with a church of people that all want you to take care of their needs. And you can do that for about 60, 70 people, maybe 100 if you're really good. You can take care of 100 people. But that's it. That's why you won't grow any bigger. And whereas the apostolic is about mobilizing everyone into their gifting and sending them out, either physically sending them out or, you know, in terms of their responsibility and such. But it's training and sending. So this is a big shift in your thinking. It's a big shift for your people. Even just the term pastor is the primary title which is given to leaders, you know, throughout the Western church world, most of church world. And what's funny is the term pastor as a noun is only used once in the New Testament, and whereas apostle is used like 125 or 6 times. But we've elevated, you know, the title and the office of pastor, so that's it. But he or she is only one of the, what we look at as the primary architecture for the church, which is the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4, which is apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we say they all need to be operating. So in fact, we're going to look at how to structure your small group so all those five functions are operating within each small group. And that's going to make it able to both serve the needs of the people. So in a church of 500 people, you as a primary, you couldn't visit everybody in the hospital. But if you raise up a team of 10 people who are all love to visit people in the hospital, then, you know, they can do that. And so that the needs are being met, but also that there's a leadership development. There's a, not just leadership, but there's a development mentality and process and culture in place so that everyone is being developed. Okay, so I want to make sure again, so I'm going to share my screen and just go over on the roadmap. So was everybody able to get into the roadmap and get going? So you have the first thing you had to do, and we actually changed this from 2 weeks ago. There used to be a separate screen to do this live class registration. So we put that all on here now. So you're going to go in there. You're going to check. You just only have to do this once. A check that we're on track one for Wednesdays. And once you check that, you should start receiving emails about this track. And this first on the roadmap, these menus expand and collapse. So I've added a couple things here. So now here's the actual links, the right links, Danny, and times. And here's notes to download. I added the small group class, which we won't be using until week 6 or so. And then you guys have already been through week 1, which was primarily on the senior leader. We discussed that last week, but we also talked about starting the church health assessment and also downloading the notes here. And then week 2 was last week. And so we discussed, so each week we'll discuss the previous week material. So we discussed the senior leader stuff last week. And I'm going to mute you, Sarah. And then you had, these were the assignments from last week. So now, so we worked on the core team, basically on your team. So as well as you start, okay, I know, I need to explain this. As a track, we realized, so it was my mistake, that as a track member, you get the max membership. So you will actually get 10 Destiny profilers. I will send you a coupon code for 10 profilers. So one for yourself and then 9 for other people. So if you already purchased a couple, you can just use these for more of your team, or you can charge people, whatever. But I will get those to you. I apologize for not realizing that before. I go like, oh, I guess that, yeah, they get that. So we started you working on the Destiny Profiler and getting the videos. That didn't have to be done for day, but wanted to basically get you started on that. Okay. Now we're in week 3, so we're going to discuss week 2, and then this is your assignment for this week. Now the assignment after today will be working on your mission. There's a lot there. Okay, so now I want to open it up for questions on what I just covered so far, just in terms of kind of how this works and what we're focusing on, and we'll get more into the material. So is everybody able to get into this stuff and start using the materials, and is it making sense? And I really need you guys to just don't hold back. No question is stupid. If it's really stupid, I'll say no, I won't. No question is that there's no stupid questions. I need you to dig in. You're paying for this time. I expect you to participate. Either that or else I will call on you. So was everybody able to get in, to use it? Did anyone have a question? Because if you have a question, probably someone else has the same question. Okay, anybody got a question on how the roadmap works?
I got one.
Yes, please.
On the Destiny Profiler part, I tried creating my account, but when it went to go to, I did the free assessment one, and I put all my my email, password, updated all that. But then when I try to go deeper into the assessment, it would kick me out. I know you sent me the code, but it wouldn't let me go any further.
Yeah, right. Okay, so with the code, what you do, okay, so that's a great question. Let me just show you, because everyone's going to need to use this. So let's go there real quick. That's why we're doing this. Let me share my screen real quick. So you're going to get a code, and generally I do the code as your first and last name put together. So mm-hmm. And you're going, if you've already done this free assessment, then you already have an account, or you have a username and a password.
Yep.
So you just log in. Okay. Log in. Right, so I'm logged in already, and then you just go to the store, and you're going to add to cart for the profiler.
Okay.
And then you're going to, then in checkout, you're going to use the coupon code. And so it's one. Yeah. Okay. Proceed to checkout. And in checkout, then you're going to enter the coupon code right here. It'll be like AJ Nunes, whatever it is. Okay. So you enter that code, and that'll give you one, and then you do the same, same thing for other people. So you would give them the code, they go to the store. If they don't have an account, they'll have to basically create an account as a part of the checkout process. They enter the coupon code here in the checkout, it'll apply, and it'll be 100% off. And it doesn't matter what they choose in terms of PayPal or your credit card, because it'll be 100% off. And then they get the profiler. And once they have their profiler, once they have access, as long as they're logged in, you go to My Account, right up here, and come on. And then you'll see all of the profiler assessments will be right here. And you just start at the top and you work your way down. If you already done a free assessment, that's fine. You just start here at the Ministry Gifted. So your first time in, this will say take. Once you've done it once, it'll say retake. So you can retake it if you want. And when you get the report here, is very cool. This one is only 10 questions, and it's amazing. And you'll get a bar chart, a different ministry type gifts, and then you get a bunch of text. And it's pretty cool. So there's five assessments in the profiler. There's five assessments, and then there's two sections that we added last fall. God's direction and my dream. And the profiler ends with the person defining their dream, which we use that term dream synonymous with your destiny, your calling, your ministry, your dream. They're all the same thing. What is it that God has called you to do, for the kingdom? And it's not your job, though it might coincide with your job. So if you're a pastor and God's called you to minister, pastorally to people, then your job and your ministry really are the same. But if you're a CPA, you're an accountant, but you have the ministry gift of pastoring, we would say don't necessarily just quit your job and try and be a pastor in the church. Use that gifting in the marketplace. So learn how to pastor the people in your accounting firm and, see what the Lord wants to do there. So it's your ministry, and it will change over time too. Someone that's 50 and kind of reinventing their life really is in a different place than someone that's, 25 and just trying to get started. So really good question. Any other questions about Destiny Finder?
I do.
Yes.
Okay, so what you just said was you go in and purchase it for $29 or whatever it was. I already did mine and purchased. I went through mine. Now, did I hear you say you can add up to 10 more people on mine?
Well, okay, so first I apologize because you shouldn't have had to pay for that. So I'm going to send you a code which is good for 10 profilers. So
okay.
If you already bought one or two, then I would just use them for your core team. And if it's really important, I can refund you that money, or else just like I said, use it for your core team, because you're going to need to get them for your core team anyway. And either you can charge them, or I would suggest that you buy it for them, because that's one of the ways that you can reward the people in your core team that you're helping them with this. I mean, none of us has, I don't think, we have a ton of money to pay our people. So you have to reward your people where you can. This is one way you do where your biggest reward that you can give people is your time.
Okay.
So you say, I'm going here. If, come with me on this journey. And this is really what you will use in your leadership development and recruiting, that, everyone has the same amount of time, and time is our most precious commodity. And you can say, I'll spend time with you, but it has to be intentional. And we're building something, so let's go. Let's do it. Let's get together. Come with me. We're gonna meet.
If I would give the code then to say Pastor Lindeen.
Yes. Okay. So she will follow that same process. She'll go to the store. She will buy it, enter the code, and she'll get it for free.
Okay. So I could do it with mine already, though. What you're saying, can I put her the code, and she could get one free?
But everyone has to have their own account so that the assessments, all the results, are all personalized. You don't want her to use your account. You give her the code, she goes in, she buys it for herself, she gets it for free, but she establishes her own account.
She puts the code in, and then you say it's zero, like she doesn't owe anything then when she puts
Right. So during checkout, you use the code, it'll show minus $29, net zero.
Awesome. That's what I was trying to figure out. I will offer that to her, and then we'll take care of that way. Okay. That's all I needed. Thanks.
Right. So we'll be using Destiny Finder as the kind of, backbone or the core of the small groups. So that's why we want to get you going through it now. You also watching the videos. So the idea is then in May, you're going to launch your first small group. We're actually calling it a Destiny group. It'll be using the Destiny Finder materials, but just with your core. So this is not a publicly open meeting. This is just with your core, and you want to have your main leaders and your secondary leaders. So you want to have 10 to 15 people in that group. And if you're a church of 15, well, then everybody's on board, I guess. But you want to Start with your core, and the idea is then in May and June, you're going to go through 8 weeks doing the whole Destiny Finder series with them. But we want you doing it now so that by the time you get there, you already understand the material, you are familiar with it, you're ready to help people with it, so that you're excited and ready to go from there.
Okay, and then...
Sorry, I just muted you, didn't I? Wait, Sarah, sorry.
And then in week two, I also went into Destiny Finder videos, and there's like 10 of them in there. Then that's
yes.
what we'll be running through May and June.
Yeah, so those yeah. are, right, so there's 9 of them, and you do 2 the first week, and then, so basically it's 1 per week, and that's what you use for your small group in May and June, and that's what, the master plan here is that during May and June, you are setting or resetting the DNA for, like, you are basically saying, you know, with this 10 or 15 people, we're going to have the kind of small group, we're going to have a church in miniature here, like our most awesome ideal church that we can have. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to care for each other. We are going to be ministering to each other. We're going to learn about the stuff that you have to create with the Lord's help, the experience that's powerful and that you want to replicate. So whatever it is you want to replicate, you got to build first. And so if you've had that kind of small group, awesome ministry, great. If you haven't, then you need to step into it and follow our stuff. You've got some great material, because material is really gets people motivated, and it gets them thinking and dreaming about, you know, like, wow, I have something I don't have to just fold bulletins for the rest of my life. That's it. No, I have more. And so you get that going during those 2 months. And during that time, you're identifying who it is that is going to lead the actual public groups, which you start during September. Now, you know, presumably it would be your top 2 or 3, 4 or 5, you know, staff you already have, but maybe not. And that's one thing we want to talk about today is you may have a core of 5 elders, let's say, where 2 of them are, you know, great people. They've been with your church forever. Everybody loves them, but they're not good, and they don't seem to have the real potential for developing other people. Maybe they're just very prophetic, or they're just the wise, you know, businessman kind of guy that's been there, and he's solid, and he handles the books, and he gives advice on that, but maybe he doesn't have the time or the inclination to be meeting with people to develop them. So this is a big deal, guys. You've got to really hear me on this. So you've got to figure out how to transition those people that aren't multipliers, who don't want to become multipliers, really into a separate role. And they need to be in some kind of, you could put them into an advisory role, you know, call it an advisory board or something. But you've got to have your primary core has to be people that are either ready, willing, and able to develop other people. Let's go. Okay, so, 2 Timothy 2, Paul says to Timothy, the things that I've taught you, I want you to teach other men who will be, faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that we have 4 generations. We have Paul saying to Timothy, take what I've taught you and reproduce it in other men who will be able to reproduce it in yet more men, another generation. So that's the multiplication dynamic that we need to establish in our core right from the start. That has to be number one priority. So I was talking with someone about, who says, well, we're launching this kind of ministry, and we're launching that, and we're going to do that kind of conference and such, and conferences, other ministries, healing ministries, those are all good, but they are really secondary to getting the primary dynamic happening in your church of where everyone is being developed. And it's another term for discipleship. Discipleship is, Jesus said, make disciples, and really it's make disciple makers who will make other disciples. If you're old enough, you might remember from the Navigators, they had the the original founder, Dawson Trotman, wrote a little booklet called Born to Reproduce. And that's the idea, is that when we get born again, we want to help other people get born again, but so that they can get other people. So we're born to reproduce. So that's a bit of a nutshell of that primary core team dynamic. And this will be difficult, and this is probably the most important strategic decisions you guys are going to have to make. And it's going to be difficult for some of you figuring out what to do with those people who are on your core who don't want to become multipliers. They're like, I just want to pray. I'm an intercessor. And great, that's awesome. So we're going to have you head up an intercessor team, but I can't, but I need people on the core who want to actually develop people. Or you might be the person, like I said, who's very prophetic, or the wise businessman person. But this is essential, because if you have a core of five people and two or three of them are not multipliers, that's going to send a message that it's okay to be a leader and not be a multiplier here. And you really need to have your primary, and your primary job as a senior leader is to multiply. And it's, again, making the shift from pastoral to apostolic, so that you're not running around going to all the hospitals to visit, all your members. You are developing people who want to go to the hospital. But even more so, you want to develop people who will raise up other people who can build. So you're building teams. Okay. All right. I've been talking a lot. There is some questions here. Okay. Where are the handouts to go with the Destiny Finder videos? I need to send them to you. yes, there's a whole small group package that I have. We have not published it. We actually plan to publish it formally as like a shrink wrapped, thing that we're going to sell for $150. But we have a whole 30-page participant workbook, and there's a leader guide, there's email templates, there's a flyer, there's everything. And so what we'll do is I will send you the files, and they're both in Word and PDF, and you can print them out. And then what I suggest is, once you do your group, this is now for May, okay? So we're not quite there yet, but you will print them out. And what I suggest is to three-hole punch and put them into little binders and give people the binders. And then really, I like the idea of that for everybody, because eventually you have this binder, which is an ideal personal development / discipleship tool. So you say, so imagine further down the road, you have your elder Joe, who you've trained, and he's gone through this, and he says to Jim, who's in a small group, hey, Jim, grab your binder. Let's meet at Starbucks, and let's really talk about what you're doing and what your ministry is and what you want to do. And it's awesome. So it's a great tool. All right. So that's coming. Justin, or to be clear, so the core group meetings will start in May, and they'll go for about 8 weeks. And yes, 8 weeks. So now we are working on the American calendar here. So we have our summer from kind of June, July, August. I know Australia, you got that flipped. And I mean, I always wonder, how's it feel when you're upside down? Doesn't your head hurt from the ground? Sorry, I'm a little punchy here. I've been going all day long. Okay, so that's a great, great question. So by the way, don't put your questions private. Put in public, because someone's going to have the same question, and I just have to repeat the question. So please put your questions for everybody. Yeah, so those will start in May, and you'll have one group with you and your core team. So if you can do one group, hopefully you can do two. But if you can't do one, you can't do two, right? Okay. We have a couple who wants to be part of the Destiny group, but they would need to go through it through Skype because of distance. I don't think it's going to work, because when you get to your actual groups, the public groups in September, they're going to be out be a group meeting in a home. I mean, maybe if they had, you know, they had to miss one meeting, you know, they were able to be at most of them in person, but one by Skype, whatever. But it's just not going to be the same dynamic. I mean, if I had, like, if, okay, Danny's group, and they were all there, they got 6 or 7 or 12 people counting kangaroos. There, you know, it's not the same dynamic when I can lay my hands on you and pray for you, or I need to give you a hug, or I need a hug. Or we're having a meal together, or we're having coffee together. You know, food is a great way that human beings love to bond together. So I would say that's will be very difficult to do that. All right, other questions? Just unmute yourself and ask, or put it in the chat window. Okay. Let's talk. Okay, let's come back now to the team material. Here we go. I would call them destiny groups. Okay, a question there from Justin. What do you recommend that we call the groups? I would not call them home. Well, I would not call them care groups. Definitely, never call them care groups unless it really is something where you don't want it to grow. And you want it just to be a focus, kind of a, you know, come and get, you know, like a recovery or whatever. But life group's not bad. But I would just call it a destiny group, because I mean, it's kind of different. You know, destiny is a very popular term. It's a popular concept. So many movies, from, you know, Hunger Games to The Matrix to Maze Runner, are all about, you know, what's my destiny? What's my purpose? So destiny is a great, you know, word and concept. All right. So as a part of the assignments, you were to download the notes. It's okay. Basically, one chap in the Thriving Church notes, leader notes. It's kind of one chapter per week on that, and the notes pretty much follow the videos. So in some cases, they're like almost like a transcript of them. We've added some other stuff to them, and there's worksheets in there. Don't worry right now about doing all the worksheets. I do them as you have time. But if you watch a video, then you got the notes are nice, where you got to refer back to new concepts or lists or something like that. All right, so I'm just going to kind of go through. I'm going to start at the right rather than the left. Okay, so Luke and Amber, let's just start with you. So I want to kind of hear from you. Were you able to go through the material? And, you know, is it making sense? Are you... What do you think?
Glenn, I just wanted to say straight up how grateful we are for the material. I mean, it's just been absolutely incredible. We have such admiration for yourself and Michael. There's already been great challenge and impartation that's come through it all. So I just wanted to take a moment and just honor you both for setting this incredible thing up. We're very, very grateful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Our question... I suppose a personal wrestle for us. I mean, we love what we're hearing, and we so want to buy in. Like, there's so much willingness here. I suppose a bit of a theological or theoretical stumbling block for us right now is just with Ephesians 4 versus Romans 12. We've heard it taught before that it's kind of an either or situation rather than people being both and the reason I suppose that's a concern for us is that we do have some people in our team that have some pretentious kind of proclivities, a bit of
pride. Ooh, that's a good word, pretentious proclivities. I love that.
Yeah. meaning that if their ego is inflated, meaning if they are put in a position or given, and I know you say very clearly that it's not about titles, but if they're presented to be something that they're not, then I'm worried that it might lead to either them becoming proud or becoming disappointed further down the track when they're not actually measuring up to the potential of Ephesians 4. And I suppose where this is coming from is there's a guy here in Australia named Danny Guglielmucci, who's an incredible leader, great man of God, does Edge Church, and he kind of does this either or workshop teaching where he gives an example of, say, a drummer, and he's so effectively presented and puts so much honor on both Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 by the end of the workshop that he's able to turn to the drummer and say, well, what would you say to me if I said to you that I'm going to give you the worship department? And that drummer, who now owns Romans 12 and is so aware of his Romans 12 and so comfortable in his Romans 12, was able to say, Pastor Danny, that would be a disaster. Please don't do that. I'm not Ephesians 4. You need to find an Ephesians 4 to be able to do that. So that's kind of the...
Well, okay, that's a great question. And, okay, as you get into the Destiny Finding materials, you'll see that we actually cover all those. So we see the three primary scriptural expressions of the gifts. So Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, we see that those are all very different from each other. Many spiritual gift tests will put everything into one big bucket, everything from all those, plus martyrdom and being single and writing songs. They'll put them all into one big bucket and say, okay, what's your gift? And we say no, that really, we see Ephesians 4, Michael calls it the primary architecture for the church. But Romans 12, so we call the Ephesians 4 gifts the ministry gifts, because that's primarily how your ministry, and we use the term orientation. We emphasize function and fruit versus office and position. So I would not be calling people apostles. We even use, within Destiny Finder, you'll see, we even have a different set of terms. We use builder, revealer, recruiter, connector, and trainer for those five giftings. We did that purposely so we get off of the title aspect and we're looking more at the function. We also take a very broad interpretation. So we would include within the prophetic, which we call revealer in the profiler, that first assessment, we include everything from worship to prayer to arts. I even include someone that is really oriented on quality control, because what does the quality control person at a factory do? They vie for the essence. They know it's got to be perfect. It's got to be just like this. It's no, it can't go out halfway. And that's very much that kind of prophetic tendency of, it's my way or the highway. I've got the word from on high. It's black or white. It's like either get on or get off. You're either with me or against me. And so there are certain functional characteristics that go along with that that would apply with many people within that. So we have a broad view of how that gifting, what we say is that everybody functions in all the gifts, but it's where are we kind of primarily wired? So like for me, I'm primarily wired, and teaching is my primary one, and evangelism is my secondary. Now, when I, this is of the Ephesians 4 gifts. And when I started to understand this way back in the 80s, when I joined in with Michael and he was really developing this material, it helped me really understand, like, there's both positive and negative. Like, I have such a strong teaching orientation that I want to constantly, like, well, no, that's not that. That word doesn't mean that. No, you misspelled that right there. And let me explain, like, you're not really, so I want to, you know, teachers want to explain. We want to know the theory. We like the analysis of it. I don't really care about talking to the person next to me in class. I want to go talk to the teacher. I want to grill that person. That's that kind of teaching mentality, and I want to explain it. And that's not good in a relationship, and it affected my marriage and with my kids, because it's so strong. I want to correct. I want to explain. And so I need to learn how to really temper that. Then I just had a revelation, really seriously, about a month ago. I go, okay, so my secondary is evangelism. So not only do I want to tell you exactly how to do it, I'm going to come after you. And I go, whoa, that's why I have some problems sometimes. So it's realizing your gifting, though. This is where it's so powerful, where people go like, oh, that's why I'm the way I am. And that's why Susie is the way that she is. And so we have to learn how to temper those things. You know, I operate in the others as well, but it's really the Ephesians 4 we see is that's kind of how I interact with the world around me. I've got this teaching lens I see everything through. So we would say then Romans 12 is what we call the motivational gifts. And did we lose them or no? There's off my screen. Oh, there they are. Good. Okay. We call the Romans 12 gifts the motivational gifts. So that colors my ministry gift. And so they can go together. And you can kind of color them. And then there's the third set of giftings from 1 Corinthians 12, which is what we call the manifestation gifts. So those are a little bit more of the familiar ones, you know, tongues, prophecy. And that's sort of like the power tools, you know, to accomplish. So Michael teaches extensively in the videos about all of this. So I don't want to try and go over that right now, but then there's leadership, and there's leadership within each of those things. So someone who has a gifting in prophecy in the prophetic, we want to see all the gifts raising up other people, because really Ephesians 4 talks about those gifts were given. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry. So yeah, that the apostolic leader is to raise up other apostolic leaders. The prophetic leader is to raise up other prophetic leaders and people. And so it's not just an end in and of itself. It's really that multiplication, you know, dynamic. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yes, I think so. I what I'm hearing is that, like, you see the Ephesians 4 as resident within every believer, because it's the nature of Christ, and like he's the ultimate pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But am I also right in saying, because some of the other things that Michael said, like he referred to, you know, where he's worked with, say, 8 in one of his videos, significant apostles, and they've all been right. So very different,
right? Because some are more like a prophetic, some more teaching oriented. Yes, right.
That was the one. That was the video.
Yeah.
So I suppose what I'm hearing is that the Ephesians 4 fivefold is in everybody according to the grace that Christ has given. But that said, there are still some who, because of the grace given and because of the way that they develop it over a lifetime, everybody recognizes them, whether they get the title or not, but everybody recognizes them as, say, an apostle or as a prophet.
Well, yes, but that's really the few and far between. I would say, but for most people, it's just, okay, where, you know, which of those are your, or how are you wired? So Susie Q, who's quote unquote average, you know, church member, you know, is she more apostolic? So we even use a term. Is she more of a builder, a recruiter, a trainer? And what's primary, what's secondary? And that's her wiring. And that, but again, there's a broad interpretation there. So someone who's a trainer is not just teaching in the church. They may be teaching in their IT company. They may be a kindergarten teacher. They may be working one-on-one where they teach people. They may do something, they may write, but their writing is basically a teaching type. So it's a very broad view, because it's really about your ministry. We see them as a ministry gift. So what's the way that you tend to primarily minister and interact? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Thanks, Glenn.
Okay, thank you. All right, Justin, you're up. All right. We can't hear. Okay, we can hear. Okay, so Justin, yes, we can hear you now.
Cool. I got through the materials. It was all good. Just doing a lot of thinking and preparing for the core team, identifying who that is. You know, it's been kind of challenging midstream. I've been here for 10 years. And so now to retool and to reassess midstream, it's good, but it's kind of like, you know, stopping everything and relaunching everything. And so,
yes, it's like trying to build the ship while you're out there on the waves. And pretty much everybody's in the same boat. I don't think anyone is just planning from scratch here. So everyone's in that same boat, literally, of having to kind of rethink and how this works. And like I said before, with your core leadership team, this is the most important, these are the most important choices you will make, really, are who's in your core team. And where you've got people that you realize now, like, oh, you know, Susie's in, you know, she's been with us forever, everybody loves her, but that's really not the best fit for her. You know, how to transition them out. Now, I asked Michael to speak specifically to that. So hopefully tomorrow morning he'll be on and we're going to record that and I'll make that available to you guys too. Because I said, you know, this is the big deal for everybody. And they're going to all ask me, well, what do I do about Susie? What about Vern, who's, you know, he's a grandfather, loves everybody. What do? I can't just kick him out. No, you don't want to honor people. You want to see them continue to be used and really function. But it's like your primary core needs to be people that are really on the same page with you, which is to develop people. So yes, we all hear, I mean, I hear you. Okay, any?
Yeah, I also was, a couple times Michael said in the videos, he mentioned a simple question to ask people in leadership. Do I have the right to be your pastor? Kind of speaking to your life. That was, I heard that twice this last week. That was really good. And I have a couple of those people who are very strong ministry leaders, have a gifting, but just have a hard time submitting to that authority. And so working through that is going to be important as well in the future.
Yeah, I thought about that when actually Luke was talking about the people that are, have, was it, okay, pretentious proclivities, that we talk about FAT, faithful, available, and teachable. Yeah. That if someone's not faithful and available and teachable, if they can't say, yes, you know, I'm here, I'm on board, you're my pastor. I mean, not that we want to dominate people at all, but we need to have the agreement with them that we have a right to really speak into their life. I mean, look, you need to have that kind of conversation with those people. And if they're not on board with that, you can say, well, you know, you are welcome to come, but I can't have you in leadership unless you're able to, that we're on the same page. And I can, you know, I have your permission to speak in your life. That will be an awkward, you know, conversation to have, but it's like either pay now or you pay later. But if you don't pay now, you're going to pay a bigger price later when they, you know, crash your church. Sorry, kind of point there. Okay. All right. Okay, Australia, the party, Australians. Okay, I'm going to unmute you. Oh, you're still muted. Come on. There we go. Okay, so Danny and company. So did you guys get through the videos? So give me a question.
So my question is, I've got two questions. What is the role, what would you say is the role of the core regarding making decisions for the church? again, like that's where we're really thinking and praying and wrestling and struggling mm-hmm. with, like we've got an amazing team of 7 leaders who we've been now functioning with for a couple of, a year maybe. And so the thought of pulling 3 people out of that 7 to make core has been very rattling in a sense, yeah. But it's been confirmed like left, right, and center from lots of different things that we've been reading and praying through. We are interested in how to do that in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so my other question is though, what would you say that's responsible for?
Right. Well, we would say you want to work with what's called a consensus model. So you're not, you as a senior leader need, you know, you're the caretaker of the, you know, I'm going to mute you because I'm getting background. Okay. That you're the caretaker of the vision. You're the primary one, you know, with the vision, but you need to lead by consensus. So you come and so you need to have a plan. You need to have an idea You don't just come to the group and say, well, what's everybody think? You know, what are we going to do next year? You know, so you have to have a plan. You have to have the vision from the Lord. That's one of your primary responsibilities. But then you want to present that, and then you want to work towards buy-in, you know, from everybody. And if a bunch of people are against it, then you've got to, you know, take your time and work that through. You can't just say, well, we're going to do it anyway, unless you just totally feel like there's just no question. But even then, you've got to navigate that so that they have, the more that they buy in, the more they're going to be on board, the more they're going to actually carry out. Otherwise, it's going to be you trying to, you know, really fight against them. So, which is why, too, you want a smaller inner core. I mean, you can't, with, you have 7 or 8 or 10 people, it gets really unwieldy. Hard enough with just yourself, you know, agreeing with yourself on everything. And then there's one, you know, a couple more people. So Michael does talk about that in some of the teaching about you know, using consensus and really, you know, presenting stuff, let people talk it through, and then, you know, try to move towards, okay, are we agreed on this? And now we're going to go for it. And then, but they need to, like, kind of like in the military, people can object and everything else. But at the end of the day, if you agree on something, people have to be really on board with it. So if they might, well, I'm not sure that's the best thing. But if you do, okay, I can buy into that. That's one that I can get behind it. But if they, you know, if they're going to be really resistant, then you've got to work that out with them. And you have to have, you know, better to have 3 people that you're able to really work with, than, you know, 8, you know, really gifted people that are just, you know, you really can't move forward on anything. Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh.
Say again?
If we feel, because we're a group of 9, us 2, James and I, and then our team of 7, we do feel that everyone is on the same page. So that's not the problem. It's more the, you know, picking 3 people out of the 7. Would we pick 3 people out to be with us so that we're a core of 5, or are we picking 1 person to be a core of 3 with us?
Well, what size is your church?
150.
Okay. So, I'd say you want your inner core to be a total of 3 or 4 or 5 people, something like that. You know, so you, right. So, you know, picking several others because, I mean, it's, and, there might be, I mean, at one point we had 7 staff, you know, pastors under Michael, but each of us had spouses too that were actually considered, you know, pastors. And now the wives in most cases weren't, you know, there for all the meetings and everything else, but we did minister together. They were considered pastors and, you know, given that, you know, title and such. But that was when we were a church of, you know, 500 or 600, whatever it was, you know. It's really about the multipliers, and if someone is not really oriented that way, then we want to honor them. We want to find the best fit for them where they can flourish and they can really, you know, function. But you know, you need to be pouring into people that are really developing people. We say, you know, half your week, 20 hours a week should be spent meeting with people, developing people, being intentional. All right. Okay, I want to get to, does that help?
Yes.
A little bit. Well, this is a big deal. Like I said, it's probably the most important strategic decision you're going to make is your core team. So don't feel you have to rush, like, you know, tomorrow to get this all figured out. You know, watch, you know, look over the notes. We'll see what Michael has to say, and we'll make that available too. And we can talk more about that as we go. Okay.
Yeah. Excuse me, Glenn. Can I just clarify? Just off the back end of that last question.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So when we're talking about the difference between the core, when we do our destiny group, Did you just say there's 12 to 15 people?
Yeah. So you're right. So you want to have a, okay. So you've got, let me try and be clear. So you've got your primary leadership team.
Yep.
Which will be, you may already have elders, you know, three or four elders who are already established or staff. If you're a big enough church, you might have two or three pastors on staff that are paid staff. If you don't have paid staff, we would say, well, you want to at least have, you know, two or three others that are your primary leaders. They're the primary ones that are with you. You trust them. They represent you. If you're gone, they preach in your place or whatever. So they're your primary core team. And then your secondary leaders in your core would be then the next level. So your small group leaders, your leaders of ministries. So you might have someone that's the worship leader or a children's church, you know, leader, that aren't, they're not at that primary core level, but they're the secondary. And we would say for that first group, you want to kind of broaden that group as, to a point so that you're getting, you know, really the best of your people, but you want to have a functioning small group. So it's more than six or seven. You want to have 10, 12, 15. So it's because every week, if you have 12 people invited, you know, three or four are going to, someone's going to be sick or gone or whatever, or their child sick or whatever. And so you want to have enough of a dynamic that will be like what you're hoping to launch later on.
Yeah.
And now groups will be, when you launch the public groups, they might start with 8 and then try to grow to be 20, you know, by the time they're ready to then multiply into two groups. And it's a, you know, it's not an exact number there. You know, Jesus had the 3, Peter, James, and John, but he had 9 more. So he had 12 that he pretty much, you know, that was the primary group that he really hung out with. But he had the 3 that he focused on. He took, you know, James and Peter and John for special things. He took them. He didn't take everybody. And so he really poured into them, and they became, you know, they were the primary leaders, but the other 9 were involved. And then he had the 70 that he sent out. And then you have 120 that show up on the, at the upper room, you know, at Pentecost. And you have 500 that show up at one of the times of the resurrection appearances. So you've got the, what we call your concentric rings. That was discussed in the material.
Yeah.
Okay.
So practically within your model, that group of 3, are you saying on top of the Destiny group, they also get another meeting?
Oh, yes. You should be, well, yes. So you already should be spending significant intentional time with your inner core or your, you know, primary leadership team, because they're the one, because, you know, okay, Jesus spent most of the time with the inner core and less time as you go out the rings, so that, because, you know, he knew in 3 years he's leaving and they got to take on the whole world with like little ragtag bunch. And so somehow he produced in them enough of a dynamic and a foundation so that then really they could, you know, within, you know, several hundred years of multiplication, they over, you know, really, we hit the whole Roman Empire, you know, that just, you know, turned upside down. So you're, you know, these are the people that are going to represent you. These are people that you are counting on. And you're going to, Michael talks about leading 2 levels down. So you're going to be leading them, but you're also going to be leading, you know, working with and meeting some, you know, the actual people that they're leading as well. You don't want to micromanage them. You know, your leader, you know, if Joe is in your core, your primary core, and then Joe is leading Bill, then you're going to meet with Bill some, but, you know, primarily you are pouring into Joe and he's pouring into Bill and Bill is pouring into somebody. So it's everybody's pouring into somebody. Everyone is being poured into. There's a developmental mindset and track. Okay. I know we're a couple minutes over. Let me just see. All right. Doug and Mary, let me unmute you.
Yeah, so, Doug had to leave a couple minutes ago, but we are really thankful that martyrdom wasn't on the list this time. We did have that one on the other list. So, I did have a question about the home group or the Destiny group that starts in September. Okay. If that runs 9 months, is there something additional that gets covered during that period?
Yes. Yes, we will have additional material that we're working on that would that like following the first couple months.
Okay.
That probably some things on identity but the idea is that as people go through the first set of materials, the Destiny materials, by the end of that 8 or 9 weeks, they're most of them will be motivated and excited to want to serve and want to say, oh yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then it's the leaders' jobs to really try to help people understand how their personal destiny will align with the organizational destiny. So for example, you might have someone that says, I want to work with, kids in, Cambodia. I feel it. Lord's calling me. And I went through all this and I'm gifted that way and this, I want to do that. You say, great. Let's have you work with our children's church for a year. We're going to pour into you. We're going to help develop you. We're going to help even send you on a mission trip to Cambodia for 2 weeks with YWAM to check it out or whatever. So that you are developing them, but you're also the vehicle for development is service. So you help them understand that, for them to serve, that's what will actually get them there. So, but we will have other material as well.
Now, are we also going to be leading another group at that same time, or is it just the core group leaders that we'll be leading?
Well, you might. It all depends on, what happens, but best laid plans. You might have 5 people ready to go and then 3 of them have to move or there's a typhoon or whatever, I was just talking with actually one of the guys today earlier, and they had one of their primary leaders several years ago was killed in a freak car accident, and it 30 people left the church. There were people just like, it was a huge deal. So we just don't know when things are going to happen. So you may have to lead one, but really primarily you want to be, helping your leaders lead. And so you'll be working with them, but the more that you can develop them so that they can develop other people.
Okay.
Okay. Sarah, it's 5:06. If you need to leave, feel free to leave. Next week, we're going to talk about mission. There's a lot of work this week to talk, think on your vision, your mission. And again, I want you guys to hear me that, this is 8 weeks. We're covered. It's like drinking through a fire hose, a lot of stuff, a lot of paradigm shifts, a lot of things. That's why we're going to take the next 22 months to work this out. Don't feel you have to master everything this first 8 weeks. That's what we call the boot camp. You're getting exposed to it all and really trying to get the primary tools and the understanding. But then we're going to walk this out. Much of this material we will hit and hit over and over again. You'll get tired, I've heard about multiplication. But it's like how to do it, how to work it out, and the nuances of it. We'll have other master classes you'll be going through that will hit some of the same material multiple ways. So, don't stress, okay? All right. So let's hit Sarah, and then we'll finish up. All right, Sarah. Mute you. There. There we are.
I really sat down, was able to get through it. I think it's very good basic information. I'm kind of new at all of this, but I just think it's really great how it's been laid out, and everything connects to everything, and it all makes really good sense. But I, on the whole, I don't really have a question because you kind of covered mine before.
Okay.
So,
all right. Okay. Cool. Okay, AJ, I didn't get to you, did I? All right, AJ, you're up. Let me get you unmuted here.
So,
there you go.
All right.
Let's go for it.
You answered a lot of the questions that, concerning the core team and then building the secondary group, how we want them to start influencing other people. For instance, this week my wife sat down with somebody who would be considered a secondary group And my wife asked her, do I have permission to speak into your life?
Ooh, good.
You know, and she said, yeah. And she really made a little bit more of a commitment. Correct, Claudia? Yes. She made a little bit more of a commitment in her stepping up concerning the children's church. Because we had one leader that was there, and we knew we'd have to transition sooner or later. But, you know, everything that you guys have developed here, I was just sharing with my wife, when our church was really big, and I can agree with what the brother was saying from Australia, we've been at this 10 years, so now we're having to implement things that we've never thought we would have to implement, you know. And make a long story short, there was one part in an area of our church where we were really big, and this elderly gentleman came in, and it was transfer growth, and he wanted, his whole heart was to be a pastor. And I said, hey, you know, I didn't know what to tell him, to be honest with you. And basically, I don't know if I shot his dream down or tried to redirect it into him becoming an itinerant minister and open doors for him with some of my friends that were pastors. Well, what ended up happening is he ended up splitting my church and moving across the street. Mm. And because I didn't have nothing in place for something like that. So this material is really helping me not to navigate, and also the timing when these things begin to pop up. So that's how valuable this has been to me.
Cool. Okay. Well, having those conversation with someone about, you know, am I actually your pastor? Am I able to speak in your life? May seem awkward at first, but it's so helpful to get clarity, and people will feel really, they will be relieved as well. And some are going to say, well, I love to go. I go to the River Church over here, and I go to this, you know, teaching there. I have a Bible study here. And he says, well, that's great. And so, you know, you're released to go do that. But if you want to be on board here and the leadership here, here's what we're doing. So you got, I mean, having to learn how to say no. And, you know, some people will just won't really fit into it. But it's better to have, like I said, I keep saying, better to have three that are with you than, you know, eight that are all over the board. And it might be very gifted, but you will get problems like that. So,
sure.
Okay, guys, I could talk for a long time, but I want to respect your time. So you're on to the mission stuff now, vision, mission. Feel free to contact me if you have more questions. I'll be sending you, if I haven't done already, I'll be sending you the code for the Destiny Finder Profilers. So get going with that if you haven't started yet. And you will need to buy the videos that are, I think we have them for $50 basically for the videos. And the idea again is to start working on the Destiny Finder material now so that you're ready by the end of the boot camp to launch that first, you know, group. Okay, so I'm going to ask Amber. I'm going to ask Amber to pray. Let me unmute you here. And all right. Why don't you pray us out, Amber?
Sure. Father God, we are so grateful that you have positioned us to be able to learn and to implement something that is going to bring strength to all of our churches. I just pray that as we are poring over the material that you've provided to us, Lord God, that we would just have such an open heart and a willingness, Lord Jesus, you would quicken our spirits to be able to grab hold and to grapple with all of the new material. And Lord Jesus, that we would have such a spirit of wisdom as we are seeing how this material that we're being involved in and navigating through can actually be implemented in the context of each of our local churches. Yes. I just pray for each of the families and that you would just strengthen all of the families and strengthen the churches that we're all connected to. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, you guys. Okay, that's great. I enjoy this. Like I mean, it's just interesting, the whole Destiny material. Like the other day, I was working all night long and getting the roadmap ready and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm using my technical, I worked as a technical writer for years. I have a theological degree. I have ministry experience. I've done marketing. And it's all coming together. And when you're working in your destiny, when you're using your gifts, this is what you want your people to experience. When they tap into that, it's exciting. And they're motivated. And they're feeling like, wow, I'm doing something. I'm good at it. And I'm loving it. So that's what you want your people to do. So or go for it, guys. Bless you guys. And feel free if you want to get up Australia early in the morning or whatever. In the morning, we'll have the same class. Hopefully, Mike will be, and I'm not totally sure because he's like traveling all around Brazil, but you are welcome to come to the other track class as well if you want to, if you miss one. Yeah. Okay? All right. Bless you.
Thanks so much, man.
My pleasure. Okay. Bless you guys. All right. Bye-bye.